So, Ephesians chapter 1. Find those verses where Paul is praying for the Ephesian believers. Can you find it? Somewhere around 15, 16, 17, right? And then do you see him praying that I pray that the eyes of your... Which verse? The eyes of your heart will be opened so that you might... See, that is real vision. You know what vision is? What is vision? Give me another word for vision. Or simpler word? Seeing. Do you see? Do you see? See, verse 18. I pray that the heart, the eyes of your heart will be opened so that you might know, see what is the hope of his calling and riches of his glory. I need to see it. I need to know it. How rich is my calling and the hope of that calling? I mean, I have hope. I'm not hopeless. You know, when I'm depressed, I feel hopeless. How come? What happened to the hope of his calling? See, I need vision. Look at chapter 3 of Ephesians. And somewhere in the 20s, there is part of his prayer, which started in verse 15, if I'm not wrong. Is it 15 that he starts praying?
16.
That he would grant
you according
to... Yes. What? What he should grant you?
To be strengthened with might by his spirit.
And? And then? To comprehend that you might be strengthened in the inner man, that Christ may be at home in your heart, and that you may be able to comprehend means
understand
or see. The light comes on, eh? Tube light came on. See what? What is the
length
and slowly, slowly, you know, because what is the length? See, length and breadth and depth and height of what? God loves me so much. I get depressed. You know, I have a right to put my thumb in my mouth and sit there and contemplate on how nothing happens to me. Everything else happens to somebody else. I get sad once in a while. It's okay. Oh, that's me. You've got to love me as I am. Blah, blah, blah. All rubbish. I have no right. If this is all true, I have no right to feel lonely, self-centered, self-pity, and depressed and bored. Oh yeah, I get bored also. Don't you hear some people say that? I'm so bored. So I need entertainment. Who? Ah, I know old people who get bored. And they're cussing all the time. All my children have left me. I have nothing to do. I say, are you a believer? You know, you have... I can't walk. I have no energy. I have no money. You have something much more to give. If you just pray for me, you are doing an enormous work. Did you know, old man? You're not a useless vegetable. Don't you know the love of God? Who has a right to say, my life is over? I'm useless. Where there is no vision, the people, you're perishing because you don't have vision of God. You don't know God. You don't contemplate on God. You don't have an intimacy with God. You know, Steve Fernandez used to keep telling me, I find it so hard to get preachers who can speak about intimacy with God. Where are all the preachers gone who talk about intimacy with God? Get passionate about Christ. And if we can't get pastors who are passionate about Christ, what about congregations? We're all gone, like, you know, the bhindi in the bazaar, all dried up. Or the methi bhaji, or the lettuce, suk gaya, bombil fish, sukat, stinky sukat, which some people like, but you know. What happened to us? We're perishing because there is no vision. So, let's move on. Some expert, Andy Stanley. What could be fueled by what should be? Think, what could be your life? What should be your life? What it is not what it could be. What your life is now is not what it should be. What did God want you to be? What? How come you have forgotten? How come you forget? How come you get so busy with your corporate life and the busyness of your life and sicknesses that come and all kinds of things that come? You know, even at DCC, one thing after another, every day there's something, right? And what happens? The whole spiritual life and health of DC girls. I'm so burdened. Oh, my goodness me. I got so many problems. And I'm saying, Christian, where there's no vision, you focus on whom? You have a vision. And you know what your vision is? Yourself. And your family. And your bank balance. And your future. Through your bank balance and your job. That's all your vision is. And if your vision was God and Christ and the living Christ, what is the hope of your calling? Has God opened your eyes to see? To know? Look at Colossians 1:9. J.B. Phillips is a translation. J.B. Phillips. Read verse 9 of chapter 1. What's it?
For this reason, since today we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
That you would see from God's point of view. The perspective is God's perspective. What a revolution would occur if we did, right? I want to see the way God sees. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. You know, that day, Peter quoted from Joel. And Joel had a fulfillment in Joel's time. He had a fulfillment in Acts chapter 2. He will have a fulfillment in the end times. But it also got fulfilled in their present situation when the church was born. In Acts chapter 2, the church was born. And the Holy Spirit fell on the church once and for all. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The promise of the Father was fulfilled. Finished. The Holy Spirit came to stay. He doesn't come again and again and again. So there's no baptism of the Holy Spirit again and again and again. The Holy Spirit came to stay with the church. And I can show you the promise of the Father, the promise of the Father fulfilled. In verse 33, for instance, of Acts chapter 2, Peter says, I hope I remember right. Good morning. Verse 33. What does he say? Chapter 2 of Acts. Verse 33. You got it? He poured out the Holy Spirit, which was the promise of the Father. Luke 24, Jesus had stayed in Jerusalem in the last part of verse chapter 24. till the promise is fulfilled, the promise of the Father. In Acts chapter 1, he said, you stay in Jerusalem in the first few verses of Acts 1, till the promise of the Father is fulfilled. This promise of the Father, that you will be baptized. Chapter 1 verse 8 of Acts, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to be my witnesses, is fulfilled. Once and for all, and the Holy Spirit has come to stay. And what will happen when the Holy Spirit is in the church, and he is, what will happen in verse 17? Is it happening in our church? And men, women, are we really having a dream, a vision? Not when we sleep. And please don't think of it as daydreaming either. Some people don't dream at night, but they daydream. You know? And you get lofty ideas about yourself. This is talking about a dream. Like, you know, Martin Luther King said, I have a dream. Mahatma Gandhi, when he came back from South Africa to India, he had a dream for India. And he met the people in Pune in those days, like Gokhale and others. And he got polished in his dream, and they told him, you know what the nationalistic leaders in Pune told Gandhi? Hey, you jacketed, nice looking attorney of law from South Africa, you want to really do something for India? Take a ticket and travel all over India first. See India first. And so if you've seen Attenborough's movie called Gandhi, you see huge minutes of Gandhi in the train going up and down India and seeing what India was like. Unless you see the situation, unless you go meet people, unless you get out of your comfort zone, come with me to Myanmar, come with me to Orissa, come with me to Kolhapur, come with me. You don't have to come with me, go by yourself. Go to the slums, go somewhere else. Don't just go to your own parties and your own housing societies. Go see the multitudes in India who are going to help. Go and see your families who are going to help all the time. Just keep them in your vision. And what will you have? A vision of God and a vision of the need. You'll have a dream, you'll have a vision, you'll have a burden to be different. You can't live for yourself anymore. You get it? That's what we're talking about. Are you a disciple? Have you really forsaken all? Or you still keep your money, a lot of it for yourself? You give some. They used to say of Colgate. Anyone know the story of Colgate? Mr. Colgate, who started Colgate toothpaste? The original man? Anyone know about him? Was he a born-again Christian? How much was he giving of his money? And keeping? He started by giving 10. But he kept giving more and more. How much are you giving? You know, you're not a disciple if you're not giving your money away. Really. You're not a disciple if you're not giving your life away. And a lot of our life is connected to our wallet. Somehow, it's, you know, there's an umbilical cord there to our wallets, to our love of money, to our security, sense of security. It's connected to our time. It's connected to our own will. So, this is it. This should be the normal experience of spiritual Christians. And then, see, you need to be informed. Most of us are not informed enough. We don't have time even to read the newspapers. And sometimes we think, yeah, it's a corrupt country. Who wants to read anyway about Rahul Gandhi and Manmohan Singh and Sonia Gandhi and Lalu Prasad Yadav? He's a joker, a clown anyway, you know. Who wants to read about the Indian situation? Who cares? But information. But don't read the newspaper more than you read your Bible, huh? an understanding of your world, of your nation, of your needs around you, of the needs around you, not your needs, other people's needs, and fill your heart with the Word of God. That gives you spiritual illumination, leading to vision, motivates you, makes you have productive action, which is spiritual. Okay? Dawson Trotman, spiritual vision is getting on your heart what is on God's heart, the world around you. Actually, let's go to this time. Okay?